Hey everybody, it's show number two of the Sports Card Show, brought to you by NorCalSportsShop.com. What's up, everybody? I remember on the last show we talked about this show maybe focusing a little bit on selling your cards, and some of you probably already do it already, maybe on kind of a large scale, maybe on a small scale, maybe only when you have time or when you have that right card that's going to sell well or going to trade well, you pull the trigger on it. And we're going to talk about some of the finer points, maybe some tips that might help you out a little bit. I've been doing buying and selling a little bit of everything on eBay, but mainly sports cards. I started out just buying sports cards, buying my favorite players, because it was one of the better places, especially early on. I think I started out in around 1998 or so. I think I was still in high school, and eBay was just breaking on the scene, and you actually could find some really good deals because there obviously weren't as many people on the internet and not as many people knew about eBay at the time, and you could get on there and actually get good prices on cards. I mean, it's similar today, only because the volume of cards on eBay has grown, because the number of sellers has grown and the number of buyers have grown. So the prices are still pretty good. You still can find extremely good values every single day, probably almost every single hour on eBay. You could quit your job, and not that you would make any money, but you could probably spend your whole day on eBay buying cards. Hopefully you win the lottery or you hit it big time before you try something like that. But let's talk a little bit about eBay, since we've talked about it so much, and we'll get in later on about some of the other avenues of how you can sell your cards. But basically, eBay has really changed the way sports cards are bought and sold. Back, say, 10, 15 years ago, before eBay was big or before even eBay existed, you went to your card shop, or card shows, and those were a lot bigger back in those days, because if you wanted certain players or certain sets or anything like that, you had to find those cards locally, or you had to drive or fly or whatever it might be to find these cards. So eBay changed it a little bit. It made it a lot easier for you to sell your cards, so it opened up the number of sellers. You weren't just localized anymore as well. You could buy cards from someone in New York, and if you lived in California, you could have your cards within probably a week, and you might get a good price on it, because out in New York, certain players are popular, and out here in California, different players are popular. You know, out here, the Sacramento Kings, I know a couple years ago, the Sacramento Kings were huge, and even today to a certain extent, and you got teams like the A's and the Giants, and down south, you've got the Lakers and the Dodgers and teams like that. I mean, there's so many teams here in California, we're kind of spoiled, but you get what I'm saying, is that the players out here are going to be popular, and maybe not so popular in Wisconsin or New York or Montana or wherever it is. You could go globally, Japan as well. So it's changed quite a bit. You know, sports cards, you can sell to anybody now, and anybody can become a seller. If you have quite a large collection, you could start an eBay store within probably a few weeks. So it's something that really blew the doors on sports cards, and it has had a huge effect on prices, because now there's quite a few. It's very easy to search, let's say, a Ben Roethlisberger rookie. You could type in Ben Roethlisberger on eBay, and I could do it right now, but if we did, we'd probably get at least 200, 300, maybe more matches. And so you could go to any card shop, and I could almost guarantee you, aside from maybe a handful off the top of my head that would have that many Ben Roethlisbergers in stock and easy to see, easy to browse. So eBay has done that. It's made it easy to find cards, easy to sell. It's relatively inexpensive. It's not compared to other avenues of selling. eBay actually is extremely affordable way of selling something, aside from maybe going to like a flea market or something like that. But even then, your costs are going to be considerable and your market is going to be considerably smaller. So eBay, there's a lot of people that have negative attitudes for it, and I can see those. But I can also see the large positive it has had, because if you don't have a card shop in your area, or you can't readily go to card shows or whatever it is, you will want to get on eBay to find your favorite players, complete your sets, find that hot player. And it's also a place where you can find that rare card. Maybe you're a big dollar spender. Maybe you're spending thousands of dollars a month, and you want to buy one of one or gem mints or whatever it is, you'll want to go to eBay because your local card shop probably won't have that. And if they do, your selection's going to be limited. And you can get on eBay any day of the week and find cards selling in the thousands of dollars. And if you're a high roller, God bless you, and keep spending your money, because I think an investment like that is going to pay off, because we'll get into that on another show. But basically, I feel that sports cards well bought are a wise investment, as long as you're willing to part with them when you're ready to get out of that investment. And that's another thing about eBay. It is an investment. It's an investment of money, but it's also an investment of time, because sports cards, most of you might be selling single cards, and we'll talk in a little bit about boxes. But if you're selling single cards, each card is different. There's very few ways to sell all a bunch of the same card, and even so, it still takes a little bit of time to list it. But each card needs to be scanned or needs to be photographed and put on eBay, and all that takes time. And all your descriptions and titles are unique, and so it's going to take you, if you're experienced with eBay, probably 10 to 30 minutes per card. And if you're not very experienced on eBay, it might take you a little bit longer. And if you're not experienced with your scanner, and I highly suggest, if you're already selling on eBay, you probably already have a flatbed scanner or something like that. If you're not selling on eBay and you're thinking about it, that's one of your first investments, is a decent scanner. And take it from me, I've gone through, I think I've been selling on eBay for about 10 years, and I've gone through at least five scanners. So, and I've bought various brands at various price levels. So they're very fragile pieces of equipment, and you want to make sure you buy one and you take care of it very carefully, because they can break and stop working on you very easily, at least with my experience. I'm giving them a plug. I don't know why, but I'm currently using a Canon, and it works really well, and I haven't had any problems with it, knock on wood. But I've had other brands, and they all work about the same. But you want to get a scanner, because a digital camera or a picture, it's unless you're really good at taking pictures, it's very hard to get a clear shot of the card, because the flash usually bounces off the plastic, or you just can't pick up the detail and as easily and as quickly as you can with a scanner. So I highly suggest, if you don't have one already and you're thinking about selling, really any, even if you're selling boxes, you could probably get away with just a digital camera. But if you're selling single cards, definitely want to pick up a scanner. Now, selling on eBay is not that hard. Basically, you want to get started. Obviously, A, you have the scanner, and B, you have the account. And that requires, I haven't done it in a while, but I'm pretty sure you need a credit card if you want to sell, and you need to accept PayPal, even though they probably don't require it. I would say a large percent of the buyers on there use PayPal, so you want to make sure you accept that, and that's a form of payment that you do accept. So you want to make sure you sign up at that site, and all this takes Depending on your experience level, it takes some time. And if you've already gone through it, bear with me. We'll get to some of the finer points on selling on eBay. Next thing you want to do is build your feedback up. If you're starting from zero, you can start selling right away, but to me, you need like at least 10, and I think maybe eBay rules have changed that you do need at least 10 now. I could be wrong, but to me, 10's the minimum, and 50 is kind of a starting point. And if you're starting from zero, I know that's some time, but hopefully you're thinking about this as a long-term investment and something you can spend some time on before you just jump into it. One way to build that feedback on eBay is obviously to buy things, and we could have a whole show on buying things on eBay, and we probably will. We definitely will. But I'm not just talking about sports cards. If you're trying to build it up to 50 within a few weeks or a month's time, you're going to be purchasing quite a few things, so it might not just be just sports cards. So you'll want to look around, find some good sellers. There might be some things you could save some money on and things you need anyway, and that's a good way. And make sure you bug the seller to leave you feedback in case they don't. Another way to do it, once you've built it up a little bit, is actually sell something that's is either hot or very commonly goes for a certain price, and it could be a wide range of things, things that are brand new with tags. If you have something that you didn't return or you didn't want, you can always sell that, and those usually sell well. Or golf equipment or CDs, things that go for a price, really, no matter who the seller is. And you can do all this research on eBay, and you'll probably want to. Video games, things that have a certain value that people would be willing to pay a certain value no matter who the seller is, they'd be willing to take a chance on. You can sell those things on eBay and build up a little bit of seller rating before maybe you dip into listing your whole collection or a large portion of your collection, either for auction or on an eBay store. And the reason why this is important, I've gone over this for a little bit. Reason why it's important to have feedback is there are a lot of buyers, like I said, that are willing to take a chance no matter what the price. But there are a good percentage of people that will only buy from people that are well, that either have a history of selling and have a decent percentage and don't have too many negatives or none at all. And it'd be wise when you first start selling to ship everything out very quickly and treat your customers as good as possible, because you want those first ratings on there to be good so your future ratings carry over from there. Because I've noticed with good sellers, myself is included, sometimes you don't get to ship something out that very next day because you're at work all day or you're at the shop all day and you couldn't get to the post office. But if you have really good feedback, people are willing to give you an extra day on that shipping because they know they're going to get their item. They know it's going to be clean and it's going to be well shipped. And that's important. Make sure you take, when the item gets shipped, that's your sale. The description and all that, that's pre-sale. After the sale, you've already collected your money, but the sale's not over. You need to deliver that product and make sure you protect the sports cards or the boxes or whatever you're selling. Make sure you ship it well because you want to make sure the customer's happy and they leave good feedback for you, because that's residual. They might come back, they might recommend you to a friend. The longer you are on eBay, the longer you receive see that. I have a customer, whenever I list single cards, I usually list jersey cards or autograph cards, whatever it is, just nothing super high value, but I'll list some things on eBay. Almost 7 out of 10 times, I have a buyer that comes in there and it almost immediately bids on our items because we'll ship them out good to him. We'll usually give him a deal. Maybe we'll throw in some extras because we recognize that they're a return customer. And those are things you want to think about when you sell on eBay. Is if you have a large collection, you have thousands of cards to sell, you could start building on collectors by offering combined shipping. If somebody wants to run through and buy 10 of your cards, make it affordable for the guy. Don't charge him $10 to ship something that's only going to cost maybe $6 to ship. So get that price good. Someone that looks like a high dollar collector that's running through your auction that really likes your cards, give them a break. Maybe throw in some extras that are just going to be laying around the house anyways. Treat them well. That will all pay off in the end. You'll start seeing that you'll get better money for your cards than people selling the exact same cards. You price your cards right. I suggest starting all cards, especially if you know the card's going to go for quite a bit of money. Start it at 99 cents. Don't, why start it at 9.99? Why start it at 29.99? You know it's going to get to there anyways, because you've seen it on eBay go for that much and you're a good seller. So just put it on there at 99 cents or a penny, generate lots of bids, because as people cycle through eBay, that 20 bid, that 30 bid card kind of stands out a little bit, because you see a lot of no bids or two bids or three bids. Then when you see that double digit 13, 14, 15 bid item, at least that will catch their eye without having to pay anything. And that's another trick to eBay, is if you know your item's going to go for a lot, start it at a penny. Get people putting multiple bids down there, driving it up to $3, on 10 bids. All of a sudden, that looks like the hottest item on eBay. And that's what you want to do. You want to create some buzz around your item. Do it in your description. No matter what the card, I suggest putting some kind of personal, personal message. If you're selling, say, a Chad Johnson rookie card, say something about Chad Johnson. That guy, you could say 5 million things about that guy, but put a little sentence on there, because chances are a Bengals fan is cycling through there. And if he reads something clever about Chad, then he might bid on it, maybe, maybe not. But, the more time you put in it, people recognize that. Don't look on return investment. You might spend an hour selling a $3 card that after fees you make $1.50 on. Think about it, that that collector may come back to you, may that feedback is worth at least a dollar. I know people that buy eBay accounts with feedback, and that's, it's worth something. So each sale is worth something. Take your time and make sure that's how you get the top dollar on eBay. And there's a whole lot of other things with eBay. If you're already an experienced seller, say you're already selling maybe your single card collection, one thing I can suggest to you is you probably buy boxes of cards, or you go to the card shop and buy packs. And your card shop owner, and I'm one myself, probably not want me telling you this, but one way you can make a little bit more money, since you're already experienced on eBay, is you can sell boxes of cards. And if you're new to eBay and you want to do this, do some research. I can only give you so much here, but do a little bit of research. But if you're already experienced on eBay with cards and collecting, you're going to know what I'm talking about. But if you want to sell boxes or cases on eBay, it's not the easiest thing, let me tell you, but there is money there. And if you already spend a lot at the card shop, where they mark it up, depending on your card shop, 20 to 30 to 40, maybe 50% and above, they're going to mark up your packs or mark up the boxes you're buying. You might get a deal. I mean, you definitely could probably, if you're in good with the owner of a card shop, they'll probably get you some boxes slightly over cost, which is about relatively to eBay. And a little secret, the wholesale costs on boxes is typically similar to eBay prices. Now, that's not the case across the board, but I would say with the most part, you really can't just pick and choose boxes and then turn around and sell them on eBay and expect to make a lot of money, if any money at all. You've got to be very creative. You got to know how to do your research. And if you're experienced on eBay, you already know how to search completed items and search items effectively, and know how to find what prices things are going for. And your feedback is going to be at a level where you're going to get a lot of bids, and you're going to get people willing to put some money down on your cards. But if you want to sell boxes, there's two ways. You can get your wholesale license, and that's a whole nother show, but really it's a very simple thing. You want to look on your state government's website and look, in California, it's called the Board of Equalization. I'm not exactly sure if that's what it's called everywhere else, But you basically go to them. It's free. You can get your business license. You basically need a name and an address, and that's about it. You don't really need to prove any sales or anything else, and that'll get you started. That's really all these wholesale companies. And I hesitate to name them on air, but if you email me, it's sports card show. Sports with an S, card with no S, and then show at gmail.com. I'd probably be willing to maybe throw you a few hints here and there, but these wholesale companies, they will need to see this resale license. And when you go to your board of equalization, you want to just say you either sell at card shows or you sell on the internet or you do that. And you want to make sure when you pick your wholesaler that they accept internet retailers, because if they don't accept internet retailers, and some of the major, you can't go straight to Upper Deck or Tops, any of these companies outright, and say you just sell on eBay. They're not going to sell to you. You need to be brick and mortar. And there's a handful of distributors that only sell at brick and mortar, but there's quite a few that don't really care, and I don't blame them because you can sell a lot more product on their end. And with these places, you're going to get a small discount on things, and depending on which one, sometimes the discount is going to be considerable because maybe they get a bunch of cases and it's not selling well, but for some reason or another, it's selling well on eBay, and you can turn it around for maybe a $5 profit per box, sometimes more, and we'll talk about that maybe a little bit. There are other ways to do it. But you can also think of this as another way. You can buy this product, maybe a product, maybe a case of a product you were going to buy maybe three or four boxes of anyways. And you were going to spend at the card store, maybe it was $120 a box, but you can get it wholesale at, say, $98 a box or something like that. Now you could buy a whole case, save roughly, I guess it would be about $20 per box. So you could save about 60 if you open three, and then you could sell the rest. And even if you broke even, you're going to have some cards to sell, or you're going to have some cards to add to your collection, and you're going to build up some feedback. And you're maybe getting good with this wholesaler because the more you buy, the better deals you're going to get. So that's another way to do it. And when you're selling boxes, it's a whole nother thing than single cards. It's actually a lot easier because if you get a whole case, you can just make one auction and run it out. I would hesitate to overflood the market with boxes because, say, it's a rare box, say it's like a playoff contenders case or something like that. There's going to be a lot of those boxes on eBay. Now, do you really want to throw all eight that you're going to sell on eBay all at once? All of a sudden, you've boosted the supply by quite a few more than it maybe should be, especially when the product first comes out and not a lot of it's been opened. A lot of it's being sold. Now, that's another tactic we'll talk about. So you can buy these boxes, and if you're, man, it's tough. It takes some discipline, but if you can buy boxes and hold on to them, you can make some money down the road. And it's something, if you have a large money to invest, you can build up a collection of boxes extremely quickly. But say you're on a low budget, and I'm talking only a couple $100s at the most, you can start building up a collection of boxes. And let's look at this year's basketball, the draft that just happened. Now, I know none of these players have played yet, but to me, this seemed like a decent draft. And it seemed like to me there may be like three or four players that have the potential to have a pretty decent rookie year. Now, you can buy boxes right when they come out at the original wholesale price. This is the price basically Tops and Upper Deck sets to these wholesalers that they want this price going out at. And then there's an SRP, which is usually, if a box is 100, they want you selling it for, depending on how many packs there are and what's in it, for 150. And if you're a sports card shop, you might get away with selling it for 125 or 140, depending on, it might mark it up more than that. It just depends. But you just want to make sure that when you're buying these boxes, that the value may go up. If you're buying boxes $100 now, at the end of the season, when there's four players in there that look like they're going to be superstars and each of their cards are selling for $100 plus, that box is not going to be $100 anymore. It might be 200. It might be 300. Because the second thing you want to keep in mind is at the end of the season, or a year later, or 2 years later, or 3 years later, a lot of the product has been opened up. And so now your competition is quite a bit less. You're selling to far fewer collectors, and there's far fewer unopened boxes. And if these cards are still selling well, then you could make a lot of money. But the timing is very critical because things will go up and down. Things, there might be a real high price maybe a year later or a year and a half later, but then 2 years out, 3 years out, it might not be quite as high. It just kind of depends because players are really hot their first year, maybe their second year, but by their third year, there's already a new player. Everybody was talking about Reggie Bush. Now Darren McFadden, and there's another player I think for the Cowboys, and there's several other players. I can't think of them off the top of my head, but there's a new quarterback. There's a new player every year, and they get forgot about, or people want to spend their money or spend a considerable amount of money on the new hot player. So you want to keep that in mind and make sure when you're selling your boxes, you're timing it right. If you bought it for 100 and you can sell it on eBay for 150 and cash out for probably like 30 bucks, 40 bucks, man, if you have 8 boxes, that's decent profit, and you would have made all your money back that you probably spent on the whole case, and you got to open a few boxes. So you want to keep that in mind. That might be a good tip. It's a good tip for anybody out of any amount of budget, especially if you buy a lot of boxes. It might not be a bad idea. Keep in mind, you want to have your eBay account set up. You want to have PayPal. Now, I've been talking probably way too much about eBay. You want to keep in mind that there are other ways to sell cards. Now, it's difficult, but if you live in a larger city, there's going to be card shows. There are going to be other card shops, places like that, that you can sell your cards. And that's all on an individual basis. I can't really touch where your area is, but if you have card shows and card shops in your area, I just recommend that you go and visit them and maybe take a handful of cards and see what they're willing to give you for them, and maybe be knowledgeable of the price you can get on eBay for it, because if they're willing to offer you even money on an eBay price, you're making money because it's going to cost you close to 12 or 13% from the final value price to sell your car on eBay. It might be more than that, actually. So you want to keep that in mind. And there's other places. There's like Craigslist, and there's doing the old school, like adding a newspaper and recommendations, friends of a friend's, getting the word out that you have cards for sale. There are also message boards, and that's something that we might grow into on this side. I kind of know how to set it up, and call me lazy or whatever. It's actually not the easiest thing to set up, but I can set up a message board, and as we build a community, and if you guys clamor for it, and my inbox is flooded with "we need a forum," then I could have one up probably in about a week. So let me know, sportscardshow@gmail.com. Send me an email, and let me know if that's something you want to see in the future. But you can go to established forums already. I don't know if I'll shout them out, but if you're a collector, or if you know the internet, Google is your friend, and I've just shout out Google for you guys, but try them. Yahoo, Alta Vista. I don't remember. I don't know who else is in business now, but try them. Search some forums. I know a couple sites have. I've pulled some trades off on some forums, and that's another way to go. You can find a seller on there and pull a trade off. It's kind of risky, especially if it's a high dollar card. I'd be very careful about it, but if it's something you want to do, give it a shot. Like I said, I've done it one time, and it was fairly successful, and I got the card I wanted. So that's another way you can do it. But that's about, I don't know if that's about it. I guess, if you want to sell your cards, again, I seriously encourage you to do so. Like I said, prices go up and down. At one time, Terrell Davis was looking like the best running back of all time, and I'm not hating on Terrell Davis. I love him on the NFL Network, and when he does commentating, and I think he's a great guy. I don't know too much about him, but he sounds like he's an awesome guy, and he was an awesome player. But you're not going to get as much for Terrell Davis stuff now as if you would have sold it back in, I don't remember what year it was, but back when the Broncos were winning Super Bowls. So the same thing goes for, I mean, I hesitate to bring up a lot of names because I don't want to hate on your guys' favorite players, and I'm kind of biased myself. But, you know, there's players out there that start out really hot, and then they kind of even out. LeBron James, I guess. You know, you're not going to get really anything LeBron James too inexpensively, especially an autograph or a jersey card. It's not going to be extremely cheap, especially a rookie card. So, you know, players like that, their values, though, have kind of leveled off. You know, LeBron, he's the kind of player that really has lived up to all the hype. I mean, LeBron is an amazing, amazing person and an amazing athlete, and he's a really good example, at least so far, for the NBA and for a pretty small market team in the Cleveland Cavaliers. But LeBron, if you get a rookie card, if you try to buy one on eBay, turning around and trying to sell it is not always the easiest thing to do unless you're really willing to camp out on LeBron. And a lot now has to do with how LeBron's team does. And this can go with any player. You know, LeBron's just one example. You could talk about any of the rookies in any league. It has to do with their team success. And obviously, each sport is a little bit different. Basketball is a little bit different from football, and baseball is the same way. So you want to keep that in mind when you're collecting. Another thing, random tip that just popped in my head. Another thing you want to keep in mind is the team that the player is playing on. I know I touched on maybe Tim Lincecum last show, and I was thinking about it. And, you know, a guy like the kid Chamberlain, for the pitcher for New York Yankees, Joba Chamberlain, New York Yankees, excuse me. His card values are pretty high, and I respect the kid, and I think he's going to be a pretty good pitcher. But if you compare the stats and look at the numbers, he is nowhere near Tim Lincecum, yet his values are very similar. I haven't checked it in a while, but his values might exceed Tim Lincecum in some certain cases. More than likely, and actually likely, that it's because he plays for a New York team and it's the Yankees. And if Tim Lincecum was on the Yankees, this guy is like, I think he's like 8-1 or 9-1 right now with a below 3 ERA. It might be below 2. And if he was doing that on the Yankees, I think you can pick up autographs for him for less than $50. And that would not be happening in New York. I know that. So keep that in mind. Dallas Cowboys come to mind. Yankees, Lakers, Red Sox. Pittsburgh Steelers. There's a lot of teams. If you think about the more widely, Oakland Raiders, when they're successful to a certain extent, teams that are widely collectible, not only in the United States, but throughout the globe. Those players are decent investments, especially like low round draft picks. If someone like Tony Romo, that just on the top of my head, Tony Romo was a fantastic example. I just remember him because I opened a box of 03 of SB Authentic one time, and I was just flipping through the cards. I didn't get anything major except for this. This was back in, I think, I want to say 2004, and I got a Tony Romo rookie card, and I literally had the cards in a stack. And when my brother came home, me and my brother run our shop together, and he knows a lot about cards. And I was talking to him, and I was like, you know, I had that box of XP go, and I was like, you know, I got nothing really but this, like, Romo rookie. And my brother was like, oh, that's tight, you know. This guy is next in line with the Cowboys. And my brother's way more knowledgeable about fantasy football and the players in almost all the leagues. He's very knowledgeable about all the players. And he said, wow, Tony Romo, that's nice. And so I immediately went over to the stack and put it in a sleeve. And I think at the time they were selling for about $13 on eBay. I think $13 to $20. And I think it took a year or two. I think I had the card for about a year or two. And then the summer before Drew Bled before he took Drew Bledsoe's job, I think they were selling a little bit higher. I want to say they were selling for like $30 maybe, because people had an inkling by then. I could have easily sold it there, and I mean, I didn't pay that much for the box, and I could have easily sold the card then, but I was like, ah, you know, this is the Cowboys. If this guy gets in the lineup and he plays well, this is going to be like, not quite like Tom Brady yet, but this is going to be like a Kurt Warner kind of thing. And this card's going to go up quite a bit, especially because he's on the Cowboys. And sure enough, a couple months later, that card's selling for, I think, several hundreds. I ended up selling the card on eBay. I hate to get it on record, because if Cowboys win the Super Bowl this year, I'm going to be hurting. But I think I sold the card for around 250 or 270, somewhere in that range, about 6 months ago. So I know, I hope I don't listen to this in December when the Cowboys are making a playoff run, because it'll make me sick. But that's the kind of card I'm talking about, is you know, the Cowboys, the Yankees, the Lakers. Even if it's a low round draft pick, it actually will be a highly collectible card in the beginning. But if that guy does anything, even if it's one play in the Super Bowl, one play in the first game of the season, that card would blow up, because there are so many of these fans out there, not only in the local markets but around the world. Takes a bit longer. I hate to bring up Tim Lincecum again, but it takes a bit longer for a guy like this to really explode. And really, I mean, I know his cards are pretty expensive as it is. I know there's like some huge value ones, and if you know a lot about baseball, Tim Lincecum's old news to you. But to people in smaller markets, they might not even realize what a good season he's having. And if he keeps this up at the end of the season, these cards that are selling for sub $100 will never sell for sub 100, because if you're 20 and 3 or whatever it is at the end of the year, 20 and single digit losses, especially if it's under 4 or 5, and especially on a team like the Giants, who, man, they've only got a couple guys that are batting over 300 right now, and that team is absolutely a joke. I hate to hate on the Giants too much, because I watch them every game, but so I might be a little more critical on them than I should be. But you know, you want to keep that in mind when you're selling. I know we kind of brushed on quite a few topics, but today I just wanted to let you know about selling your cards, and it should be important to you, because I should have made the point to you that cards go up and down in value. I named off two names, Terrell Davis and Kurt Warner, two fantastic players, and ironically, two fantastic individuals. Both those guys, as far as I know, are really two nice guys. I don't know them personally, but from what I read, those are nice guys, and their card values aren't quite what they used to be. And there, we can bring up, I'm sure. I mean, send me an email, sportscardshow@gmail.com. Send me an email. I'm sure some of you can come up with 20 or 30 names, and I'd love to shout you out on the next show. And we'll get to that a little bit more. So we'll get some emails in. I've gotten a handful already. I'll make sure I'll shout you guys out on the next show. I'm trying to think of a topic. I don't know if I want to commit myself to something yet, but maybe we'll talk a little bit about the 80s and 90s, collecting cards in the 80s and 90s. I bet most of you are collecting today, except for maybe some of our younger listeners. I don't know if I have any. I'd say it like we've got 10,000 listeners, which you could probably divide that by several exponents, and that's how many listeners we have. But some of the younger collectors don't know too much about the 80s and 90s. But if you're my age and in your 30s and 40s and above, and you're a seasoned collector, then you know a lot about the 90s, and they'll make you smile, but they'll make you cringe too, because it's an interesting time. There's a lot of factors that go into why those cards had value and then now seem like they don't have quite as much value, and it's a little strange. But I have my theories, and I'll share them with you next time. Thanks for tuning in. Again, hook me up with some email. I don't care if it's negative, or if you hate on me, or if you don't want to listen again. Just send me some love. And if you want to do that, if you want to send me some love, I'd love to hear it. Send me some suggestions. Send me anything you want to hear, a topic you want me to cover. Let me know. I have quite a bit of experience. I'm not too old. Should I? Maybe later on I'll reveal my age, but I have quite a bit of experience. Like I said, I've been collecting for probably about 20 years, and I've been selling on eBay for probably close to 10 years, and I've been buying and selling, and I have a store. And send me an email. Any questions you got, I'm willing to answer them on air. And as the show progresses, hopefully it will, we'll get to more things. Hope you all had a good time today. Don't work too hard. Good luck on eBay. Good luck wherever you collect. Go to your local card shops, support them. Times are tough, baby, but go and support your local card shop. Buy some packs, buy some cards, buy some supplies, whatever it might be. Get to know them because I guarantee you, most card shop sellers are pretty decent guys or girls, whatever it might be. But most of them are pretty decent people. And if you get to know them, they're probably willing to give you a deal or at least the inside tip when they get something that either at a good price or something they, if they know you a little bit better and they know you collect, say, the San Diego Chargers or you collect Bowman Chrome rookies or contenders, low parallel, what blue ink, whatever it is. If they get that card and they know you, they're more likely to give you a call and let you know about that and probably give it to you at a decent price, especially if you're spending a lot of money. Man, if you're balling it out and rolling the dice every week, busting a box of treasures or exquisite, they better be hooking you up, bro. That's what I'm saying. So, I'll see y'all next time. We'll probably talk about the 70s and 80s. Maybe I'll cut some Michael Jackson sounds good. Maybe I'll bootleg some Michael Jackson and pop that on the air for you. So you got that to look forward to and a bunch more. Next time, check me out.